fires deep, middle of the field, intercepted. An incredible pick by Patrick Peterson.
Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground, presented by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown, Arizona!
The latest news and notes from the guys who cover the team.
Oh, David Johnson, baby! A hop, a skip, a jump.
He is a freak, there's no doubt.
Rise up and make a play.
He's hit by Chandler Jones and sacked.
You've got to be kidding me.
Touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald!
This is football at its finest.
Here's Darren Urban.
Well, Kyle, as we sit here getting back to the rhythm of things after I was in Canton for a couple days, Jim Omohundro over here, our fine producer of Cardinals Underground on azcardinals.com, informs us that Metallica was actually in this room right before their concert warming up. You can still kind of feel the vibe, I guess, right?
They probably have a better rhythm than we do, knowing Lars, but we'll do what we can.
I'm just happy to be back, quite frankly. It was a long... Cleveland is a lovely city. Driving back and forth an hour to Canton 3 days in a row or whatever it was a little bit long. And while the Hall of Fame festivities are nice and everything, and it was cool to be there for Kurt Warner, it does tend to drag. We had gone into the night with the speeches starting at 7 a.m. or 7 a.m. God, well, I don't really felt that way. 7 p.m., We had laid some bets among ourselves that hopefully Kurt would be on stage by 10:30. And indeed, he did not get on there until after 11 o'clock. So yeah. A very, very long night.
And what time was your flight the next morning?
I had to leave at 7:15. So I got to bed at 1:30 and then got up at 4 to make sure I could get to the airport on time. It was a nice short night. And it'll be good to be back into the rhythm of practice. And it was kind of weird because before we get too back into the team, you know, Kurt's speech was interesting because he ended up basically talking about how he got to the point where he could be in the NFL so he could start a Hall of Fame career. But he talked for over 30 minutes and never got to any of his highlights that we all know. Never talked about the Super Bowl win with the Rams and the greatest show on turf. Never talked about his years with the Cardinals. There was the only specific names mentioned were Todd Haley, Ken Whisenhunt, and Denny Green in terms of Cardinals. And he didn't talk that much about Rams people either. And the one player he mentioned was Trent Green, who, of course, was the guy who suffered the knee injury that opened the door for Kurt Warner's NFL career. But he stopped. He stopped with basically at that point about being signed by the Rams and getting his option. He didn't talk about all his glory years. It was all the stuff leading up to it, which was an interesting way to kind of touch on your career for your Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah, and I think when you have that long of odds going into it, maybe he almost felt like actually having all that success in the NFL was almost icing on the cake. When you had that cool anecdote about him looking at Dan Marino's picture at the Hy-Vee, you know, stocking shelves at the grocery store, the fact that he was at that point in his life and he did become an NFL quarterback is just like so, it just seems so unrealistic. You look at it even now and it's like, man, you couldn't even write that and people would believe it. So the fact that he actually made it and then turned into a Hall of Fame quarterback is just unreal. But that was probably what stuck out to him is, I was here stocking shelves and I turned into an NFL quarterback. And I think even to him, it's pretty unbelievable.
It is an unbelievable story. And let's not forget the weekend included a football game with the Arizona Cardinals. And so the preseason's underway. Because it's an extra game, we still have 4 preseason games to go. So long, long way to go. But obviously the big thing coming out of it, there was a few points of emphasis, I think, when we look at that first game and going forward. But obviously the thing that impacts this team, which will impact them all the way into the regular season, is the loss of rookie running back TJ Logan, who they were hoping could be their dynamic return man of the present. And in what he showed in the game, both not only kickoff return, which they already kind of knew he could do that. He proved that in college. What he hadn't proved in college is punt returning, which he hadn't done. And I was very skeptical that he would be able to do it, but he looked pretty good doing that until when he actually made a run late in the game and dislocated his wrist. And now he's going to have surgery and be out. The earliest he'd be back is midseason if he is able to come back. That's a blow because obviously the return game has been a major source of problems, quite frankly, for this team the last couple years. They thought they had it solved, and now all of a sudden you're back to square one.
Yeah, probably since, you know, Ted Ginn was probably the last guy where they felt comfortable in the return game with the guy back there. So, yeah, it's been a couple years.
And Ted Ginn wasn't even, by the end, he wasn't looking that good.
Yeah.
We won't talk about that Panthers playoff game.
True. But, you know, Arians, yeah, he was already sold on TJ after one Hall of Fame game that, hey, here's our returner. Losing him, you know, you think, you know, you have options, but, yeah, certainly he was the best one. And now Kerwin Williams looks like he's going to get the next shot at it. Williams has been a kick returner for the Cardinals the last couple of years. He did punt returns in college, he said, at Utah State. I'd like to see how he does, you know, in the fire in a preseason game in that role. John Brown isn't healthy, but he's supposed to be coming back, and hopefully he's going to play in the game. And if he can show that he can do punt returns, I think that's probably ideal. He catches the ball well. He has some return ability. So if it's Kerwin on kick returns and John Brown on punt returns, that's probably the most likely scenario in my mind. You're not as dynamic maybe as having a guy like TJ who would be fresh the entire game and able to do it. But I think they're both decent options.
I like the idea of John Brown doing punt returns. I think he's shown enough, but he's got to be healthy. The Kerwin Williams, he's done a little bit. What I thought was most interesting about the kickoff returns is Arians didn't mention Andre Ellington as an option. When you're talking about a running back who's trying to make this team and Andre doesn't really play any other special teams, to not have him even be in the conversation as a return man. And quite frankly, Andre, you know, he wasn't doing what he needed to do as kick returner when he was in there last year. I get it, but it's interesting where it might put him in terms of finding a place on this roster. You know, another part of what we saw in the game was obviously Blaine Gabbert. And we knew when he came in, it was a question of trying to prove that in this offense, he knew what he was doing. You know, everybody's kind of all over the map in terms of how they feel about Blaine Gabbert. There's a lot of people that are, quite frankly, anti-Drew Stanton. When I say people, I mean fans. Anti-Drew Stanton, and they would love for somebody else to be the backup. And obviously, Blaine Gabbert looked really good, completing 11 out of 14 passes, had two touchdown drives in his first two possessions, looked really sharp. But again, you're still trying to figure out if he can do it. I mean, as we all know, Logan Thomas looked incredibly efficient in his first appearance in the preseason, his rookie year, and we all know how that story turned out. And I'm not trying to say Logan Thomas and Blaine Gabbert are the same person, but I think there needs to be a little bit of a pumping of the brakes when we start talking about how good Blaine Gabbert might be and where he might fit in with this.
Yeah, and there's plenty of speculation right now, but it's nice to have four more preseason games where Blaine Gabbert should get plenty of action to show if he can build on what he did in the Hall of Fame game. If he looks that good in the next four games, then clearly he's going to be on the team, and it's a legitimate option to where he's pushing for that backup quarterback spot. We have a long way to go. I think it was an ideal scenario for him where the offensive line held up really well. He'd read his progressions well. Definitely, it was nice to see his arm strength, his accuracy, which is better than I thought it would be coming in. So he showed a lot of things, and I think he's definitely on his way to making this team, but it's tricky when you talk about the backup spot, knowing that Drew Stanton is a guy who knows this offense very well. When he's been in games, he hasn't lost games for him, which I think is the big thing at backup quarterback. If you need a guy for a game or two, you don't want him to be throwing those pick sixes or to get sacked and fumble the ball and give a team a return touchdown and just put your team in a hole. And Drew has done a good job of not putting the team in a hole when he's played. So that's the question where Blaine does seem like he has more upside. He's younger. He's got a lot of physical tools. But are you willing to take that risk? And we'll have to see how he plays the rest of the preseason. But I think it's more of an option now than it was before camp started. But it's still more likely that Drew is the backup.
And if Drew's the backup, I still see a scenario where it could be Palmer, Stanton, and then Gabbert, and they all three make the roster. If Gabbert somehow supplants Stanton as the number two guy, I see them keeping two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
They'd probably release Drew Stanton. That makes the most sense to me. It doesn't make sense to have Drew Stanton as a third quarterback. And we'll see Drew. The Raiders game, the preseason home opener this weekend. The starter is going to play, so Carson Palmer and Drew Stanton, who didn't play in that first preseason game either, he gets his first option as Arians kind of laid out how he wanted the quarterback play to go this week.
Yeah, and Drew's going to – and Carson's going to play 15 snaps or so, maybe even less for Carson. So Drew should have at least a quarter, maybe more, and then Gabbert's going to play the whole second half. So plenty of time for both of them, and Drew should play a little bit more as the preseason goes on, you'd think. We'll see how Blaine does. And if he doesn't have a good game, maybe it quiets down a lot of the speculation about if he can push for it. But – you know, he played really well in the first one. If he continues to show that, it could get a little bit interesting.
Talking about Palmer and the starting, I mean, obviously none of the starters played in that first game. So now we get a sense of them. And again, you said it's about 15 plays, 12 or 15 plays, whatever it might be. And it might be shorter if they're super efficient. I think Bruce Arians would love if it's super efficient, because I think the warning signs were there. I think we all kind of saw it in last year's preseason when they weren't efficient when they were in there. They didn't play a lot. They weren't efficient when they were in there, and it kind of carried over into the regular season. And I do think it's crucial. Okay, maybe not just this game. We've got, again, four or three for the starters, three preseason games to go, because we all know they're not going to play in the last one. But it's incredibly important that they have some efficiency and they show that they can click a little bit, because while the preseason results don't necessarily matter, I think how these guys perform in their limited time does. And I think for confidence sake, if nothing else, this offense especially needs to show that they can be effective.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the passing game in particular. You feel good about David Johnson, obviously, and he's probably not going to see a lot of carries in the preseason. So the running game is what it is. You feel pretty good about it. You have an offensive line with some guards especially and DJ Humphreys who can move and do pull blocks. So I think you feel good about the running game. But with all the issues you had in the passing game last year, with some questions about John Brown staying healthy, Fitz, he had a great year last year. Obviously, he's 34 now, so you hope he plays at that high level. But age is undefeated. You worry about Carson and Fitz getting older. So it's a legitimate question passing game wise, and I want to see how they come out and play and JJ Nelson, Jerron Brown, Chad Williams, a lot of guys who need to step up without Michael Floyd around anymore.
Well, first of all, just to clarify, Fitz is not 34 yet. It's okay. At the end of the month, August 31st. Don't be pushing those of us who are
once
having
the
birthdays.
Season starts.
We don't want to make anybody older than they need to be. I'm very sensitive about that right now, Kyle. I'm just telling you. On the other side of the ball, you know, again, Justin Bethel didn't play in that first game because he's a starter, but, you know, he had been banged up a little bit. We saw a lot of Brandon Williams, and we saw them picking on Brandon Williams. Tremont Williams, the newcomer, didn't play either. So, but they picked on Brandon Williams a little bit. He had a couple of good plays. One really nice pass breakup, I remember. He obviously had the interception. Also got burned deep one time. You know, he's a work in progress. You know, he kind of was like after the game, he's like, look, I'm just focused on me. I don't care if people aren't talking about me in the context of the number two cornerback. If I'm there, I'm there. But as we go forward, I'm very curious. I mean, I think Justin Bethel has done pretty good things for the most part in practice when he's been out there. We'll see how he is in games. I think that's one of the first things I'm looking at this weekend is Justin Bethel. And I think he's got a chance to really hold on to this job. And I, you know, I don't know where Tremont Williams is and after the last couple of years in Cleveland, how he might be able to play, but you know, that's still an open spot, a sore spot. And they need to be able to, you know, to find that guy. And if Justin Bethel can be that guy, it would be so nice. But I know, and it's fair. The trust isn't there with him, with the fans, you know, the coaches still, I mean, he's got to prove it. And I think he knows that, but I really truly believe, and I hope it's not just because I like the guy, cause he's a good guy and he works hard. I really truly believe he's got a chance to do that.
Yeah. He's definitely looked a lot better in this training camp. He's not hurt anymore. You can tell the foot isn't bothering him. He's always had the athleticism. You know, we're not going to know for sure until the season starts and how he does under the bright lights and if he is the starter, but he certainly seems like the leader in the clubhouse at this point. And with the way Patrick Peterson, you know, he's going to be a star. With the way Tyrann Mathieu has looked in camp, Buda Baker showed a lot. You have a secondary that can be really, really good if that second cornerback spot is nailed down. And between Bethel and Tremont Williams, you have a couple of decent options. And, yeah, that's, I think, what I'll be looking for definitely in this first preseason game for those two guys, how they look. Bethel will probably go against the Raiders starters, and then Williams maybe against some backups. But you should be able to tell how Williams is moving around in that game, and definitely a big spot for them in the next couple of games, because Tremont could very well, you know, overtake Justin if he has a good preseason as well.
We'll have to see. And you mentioned Buda Baker. Again, part of how all this fits in is, okay, Buda Baker did some good things in that first game. Now, again, Dallas wasn't playing a whole bunch of their starters either. That's number one. And Buda wasn't perfect, but he did show the flashes. You get why they like him.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrann Mathieu has been playing excellent in practice. He hasn't played yet, but, you know, we're expecting him to be Tyrann at this point. So the question starts to become, if Buda Baker shows you some stuff and continues to you know, ramp up his game early, what are you going to do back there? I mean, all of a sudden you got Tyrann Mathieu and Buda Baker and Antoine Bethea and Tyvon Branch. I mean, do you keep them all on the roster? If they all are there, is there somebody who's going to have to be sitting around all the time? I mean, I don't know if Tyvon Branch, for instance, is a guy who you keep on the roster and then you make inactive. I'll be curious to know where all the playing time is going to come. I mean, obviously it's a good problem to have, and Buda Baker's got a long way to go. But Buda showed enough that there could be some interesting safety decisions in terms of playing time that have to be made.
Yeah, I think it'll be tough to release one of those veterans. Obviously it would be Branch, if anybody, because you just signed Bethea. Mathieu is your star, and Buda's your second round pick. So, but at this point, Baker has shown flashes, like you said, but he's not ready to step in. Bruce Arians said he'll make one mental error per practice, and sometimes that can be a difference in a game. If he blows a coverage or does something that's a huge issue, allows a touchdown. You know, you think back to Brandon Williams last year, got the wrong coverage, and the Patriots score an easy 40-yard touchdown, and that can be the difference in a game. So I think you want that veteran stability, and then the hope is that Buda kind of comes along as the season goes on. And, yeah, I could definitely see him grabbing a starting spot at some point, whether that's Branch or Bethea's spot. I mean, they play three safeties a lot, so it kind of remains to be seen. I think Tyvon has played pretty well in camp. If he can stay healthy, I think he's a decent piece as well. So I think that group is solid, and you probably just keep all four of them. And then maybe Rudy Ford is your fifth, kind of a versatile safety slash cornerback guy. But that'll be a good fight, is do you keep a fifth safety or not? But it seems to me like those four are pretty much nailed in, and then you just figure out the playing time.
I mean, truth be told, and I don't think I'm jinxing anything, because I don't believe in jinx stuff, but that's mostly why I don't think I'm jinxing anything. You know, we got a long way to go. Again, four more preseason games, four more weeks of training camp. You know, the reason you want depth is because injuries happen, and who knows what might happen. If somebody gets banged up, then that decision could end up being made for you. You know, even with the TJ Logan thing, about talking about bringing him back from IR at some point, I think that's kind of the plan. But you only get to bring two guys back from IR at some point, and depending on who else gets hurt, you know, maybe TJ Logan isn't one of the most important players. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And as we kind of wrap up things here on Cardinals Underground, the last thing I kind of want to touch on is the defensive line beyond Robert Kamdichi, because I feel like we've been talking a lot about Robert Kamdichi, and he had a solid preseason opener. I think, again, they feel like he's going in the right direction. I think they are getting more and more confident that he can be a solid player for them this year. But the rest of that defensive line, you know, everybody wanted to talk about Calais Campbell leaving, but they felt pretty confident, even if Calais left, that they had the depth. And there's a lot of names on there that, if you're not a follower of the Arizona Cardinals, and even if you are, you're not super familiar with. I mean, everybody kind of knows Frosty Rucker at this point. Corey Peters was, I think, underrated last year for the job that he did, and he's been really, really solid, and he's proven that when he's been healthy. He's a pretty good player. You got Josh Morrow, who started 13 games last year. They really like what Josh Morrow brings to the table. I think I've even heard some praise for Rodney Gunter, who might have taking a step back a little bit in his second year. Maybe he's kind of finding some things. I mean, this defensive line, again, lots of names, lots of possibilities. You're only going to probably keep so many of them, but they feel pretty confident in the direction that that play, that area can go.
Yeah, and Olsen Pierre is a guy who has gotten a lot of praise. He played well in the Hall of Fame game, Steve Keim thought, and I think Bruce Arians brought him up as well. I think you've got a lot of guys that are solid, know their roles. Guys like Josh Morrow and Frosty Rucker understand what the defense wants to do. They're not going to get out of their gaps. They're not going to do dumb things. My question is, can they get enough penetration on pass plays on the inside to where offensive lines are going to have to double some of those guys to help Marcus and Chandler on the outside? Because when you had Calais inside last year, that was a nice trio where you could really get after the quarterback from each angle. And that's the big question to me. And I think Kim Dichie's progress is very encouraging. Frosty has had 5 sack seasons. If he can get healthy and do it, but he's getting older as well. If Morrow can step up and maybe get 2, 3, 4 sacks, it's going to be more of a collective effort this year. And that's the big question is, do they have enough to get enough inside penetration? I think against the run, I think they'll be fine. But my question is on those 2nd and long, 3rd and long, can they get after the quarterback on the inside?
I think that's a fair thing. I think that's where the Kim Dichie thing really is. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's the guy they're counting on to kind of be that guy. And it'll be interesting to see how that kind of plays out. So I'm just curious. I mean, are you feeling like the need to like jump up and play air guitar right now? Is there any part of that where you want to kind of imitate what Metallica did in here?
I went to a concert once and tried to play air guitar and I like hurt my knee and I was limping around for like a week. So I think my air guitar days are over. My wife will never let me forget about it, that I hurt myself playing air guitar.
I feel like that's a story that really needs to be fleshed out somewhere. Perhaps we can put that on the site. but we've run out of time here, so I think we're just going to skip that part of it. For Kyle Odegaard, I'm Darren Urban. This has been Cardinals Underground on azcardinals.com.